This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on the Steve Callis Show. It's Monday, November 26, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's studio@sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today. We're going to start out at the Meadowlands last night. The biggest game of the week, weekend, I thought. Packers at the Giants. Packers on a five-game winning streak. Giants coming off their bye in a two-game losing streak. But if you know anything about the Giants, you know they're able to get up for these big games. And that's exactly what happened. It really was not a game yesterday, as the Giants dominated both sides of the ball. 17-7 after the first quarter, 31-10 at the half. The Packers didn't know what hit them. Now, the Packers do have some injuries, but Giants 38, Packers 10, never a game. Well, it was 7-7 in the first quarter, I guess, but it was never really a contest. It was 7-7, then 24-7, then 31-10. And the Giants got off to a great start. Ahmad Bradshaw runs around the right side for 60 yards to the one-yard line. Andre Brown blasted in for a touchdown. The Giants were able to develop a running game against the Packers. The Packers weren't really able to develop a running game against the Giants. And, of course, when you have that running game, your play action works a lot better. Eli Manning looked like Eli Manning. It was interesting after the game. The rumors in New York for the last 3 or 4 weeks, Manning had not thrown a touchdown in the last few games, were that he had a tired arm. He denied it. And then, of course, after the game where he went for 3 touchdowns and no interceptions yesterday, he said, well, I don't think I had a tired arm, but I did have a week off. There did seem to be a little more pop on my ball when I was throwing it, so maybe there was something there. Of course, he's not going to admit it while it's happening, but maybe now that it's over with a week off, I guess at a minimum he'll say there's a chance it could have been that. But he threw a 21-yard bullet over the middle to Reuben Randall, a rookie who played fairly well yesterday, for a 21-yard touchdown. He hit Victor Cruz for a 9-yard touchdown. He had a heck of a game, hit Hakeem Nicks late for a 13-yard touchdown. So Eli Manning looked like Eli Manning. I still think a lot of it had to do with the Giants having a bit of a running game. Their defense was excellent. Corey Webster, after being burned early by Jordy Nelson for a 61-yard touchdown catch from Aaron Rodgers, which was really their only highlight of the game, Corey Webster came back to intercept Aaron Rodgers, and the front four is playing like the front four of old. OCU Menor comes in, strips Rodgers. JPP recovers it for the Giants. They had a very good game, the defensive line, and Rodgers was running for his life a lot of the game. The numbers, Manning 16 for 30 for 249 yards and 3 touchdowns. Bradshaw 10 rushes for 58 yards and a touchdown, in addition to that 60-yard swing pass, screen pass. That wasn't a run, that was a screen pass he caught off the right side. Andre Brown, good news and bad news, 13 rushes, 64 yards. So the two main backs combined for 122 yards and 2 touchdowns. Brown scored a touchdown. Bradshaw scored a touchdown. But later in the game, Brown broke his fibula, so he's got a broken leg now. I kind of like Brown. He's a powerful back. I won't say he's better than Bradshaw, but he certainly is a nice addition. But we'll have to see when he can come back, because he did break his fibula. Hakeem Nicks, 5 receptions, 77 yards and a touchdown. Cruz, 3 for 36 and a touchdown. Randall, the rookie, 2 for 26 and a touchdown. Bennett, the tight end, 3 for 44. Bradshaw out of the backfield, 2 for 61. Obviously, that one swing pass was the majority of those yards. For the Packers, you know, I think they're going to have to regroup. Aaron Rodgers certainly didn't look like Aaron Rodgers. They were coming off of 5 wins in a row, but the Giants made them look mediocre at best. Rodgers, 14 for 25, 219 yards. 1 touchdown, 1 pick, running for his life virtually the whole game. Starks, 8 rushes for 35. Green, 10 for 30. So as we said, no real fullback Kuhn, 4 for 17, but no real rushing game to speak of. Cobb, 4 receptions for 39 yards. Finley, 3 for 51. Kuhn, 3 for 49 out of the backfield. But again, the numbers don't tell the domination. This was simply not a game. The Giants, who looked like gangbusters early, who then went into a two-game losing streak and a bye, looked like Super Bowl champions yesterday. Of course, this was a matchup of the prior two Super Bowl champions, but the Giants, at least yesterday, looked like the team to beat, certainly in the NFC East. And again, you have to put them up there with the 49ers. We'll get to the 49ers in a minute. They've made a quarterback change, but they might be the best team in football right now. Giants 38, Packers 10. Giants moved to 7-4 with a two-game lead in the NFC East. Packers moved to 7-4 right now. They are a wild card team. Another big game for different reasons for both teams. The Saints, as you know, started 0-4. Got to 500 at 5-5 yesterday. They're home against the 49ers. The 49ers deciding to go with Colin Kaepernick. And apparently this was a benching of Alex Smith. This was not now Alex Smith has a concussion. Alex Smith is not cleared to play as it was last week. But Kaepernick played great against the Bears. He's just got that ability to run. He's got a strong arm. He gives them a little more athleticism than Alex Smith. But, you know, it's kind of hard to watch. Alex Smith completing 70% of his passes leads the NFL. Incompletion percentage, but they've decided to go with Kaepernick. And, you know, Harbaugh gave it the old, oh, we'll look at the film and decide, but obviously this guy has beaten the Bears in his first NFL start and then beat the Saints on the road in his second NFL start. Now, the Saints don't have a very good defense, but it doesn't matter. Kaepernick got the win. There's no way they're taking him out for Alex Smith now. They've probably made a decision. I picked the 49ers to win the Super Bowl over the Patriots before the year, and despite at times when you look at both of those teams and you're worried, you have to stick with what you picked, but the 49ers don't have the ability, it appears, to come back when they're down 10-14 points with an Alex Smith. With a more running, throwing quarterback like a Kaepernick, they have a better chance. My sense is that's what Harbaugh is saying without saying it. Yesterday, San Francisco goes to New Orleans, 14-14 at the half, but the 49ers open it up in the second half, and they wind up winning the game, 49ers 31. Saints 21, an uncharacteristic bad day for Drew Brees. But Kaepernick started off the scoring with a 7-yard rushing touchdown to go ahead 7-0. Then Ted Ginn fumbled a punt like on his own 11, and the Saints recovered, and Brees hit Colston with a 10-yard TD pass to tie it up. But then the first of two gigantic mistakes, Ahmad Brooks intercepts a Drew Brees pass, runs it back 50 yards for a touchdown, 14-14 at the half. Frank Gore gets a TD catch out of the backfield, which like never happens his first of the year, a 6-yard touchdown catch out of the backfield to put him up 21-14. Then Dante Whitner intercepts Brees again, returning it for a touchdown again. So the 49ers defense, two interceptions of Drew Brees, both returned for touchdowns, one of 50 yards, one of 42 yards. That made it 28-14. Brees comes back and hits Collins with a touchdown pass to cut it to 28-21. But then, with Kaepernick at the helm, they go on, the 49ers go on a 9-minute and 28-second drive, which results in a Akers field goal, which puts them up 10, which obviously means the Saints were going to have to get the ball back twice and score twice, which did not happen. Final score, 49ers 31, Saints 21. And frankly, the 49ers did look like world beaters, and the Saints looked like a team that's not going to make the playoffs. They have a brutal, in addition to the terrible beginning they had because of all the suspensions, bounty gate, etc., they dug themselves a hole that doesn't look like they can get out of now. They're 5-6. And they've got a difficult schedule going forward. Yesterday, Kaepernick, 16 for 25 for 231 yards, one touchdown, one interception. Rushing for Kaepernick, 6 for 27 with that 7-yard touchdown. Gore, solid as usual, 19 for 83 Plus, he had that touchdown catch out of the backfield. Hunter came in with a solid 4 for 28. Mario Manningham, the former Giant, 5 receptions for 69 yards. Walker, 3 for 81. Miller, 3 for 37. Crabtree, 3 for 26. And as we said, Frank Gore with the TD catch out of the backfield. Breeze, you know, the numbers are what the numbers are, 26 for 41 for 267 and three touchdowns, but those two interceptions, and these interceptions seem to get bigger and bigger every week, both returned for touchdowns. That was frankly the difference. Ivory, 8 rushes for 34 yards, Ingram, 10 for 27, no rushing to speak of. 49 is obviously very hard to run on. Reception, Sproles, 7 for 65, Colston, 4 for 36 in that touchdown, Thomas, 4 for 24 in a touchdown, but really it was the 49ers just showing, to me anyway, that they're a better team, and Breeze uncharacteristically throwing not one, but two touchdowns for picks. Two picks for touchdowns, I'm sorry. 49ers now 8-2-1. The Saints dropped to 5-6, and again, if you have six losses with five left, you, I think, have to run the table to get a chance to make the playoffs, and I don't think the Saints are good enough, frankly, to do that, coupled with a tough schedule. Another fascinating game, if you saw this game, one of the plays of the year, if not the decade. Ravens at San Diego, 4-6, playing at home, season on the line, North Turner on the line, Phillip Rivers on the line, to me. Again, I think these pairings are being broken up at the end of the year, Andy Reid, Michael Vick, North Turner, Phillip Rivers. Yesterday, though, Chargers go ahead 10-0 at halftime, appear to be on their way to an excellent win over a good Ravens team. They go up 13-3 late, but then Joe Flacco hits Dennis Pitta for a touchdown, 13-10, and then very late in the game, it looks like the game is over. It's 4th-29 for the Ravens. They have to get a first down or else the game is over. The ball goes back to San Diego with the lead. And then Flacco can't find anybody. He has to dump it off to Ray Rice, maybe 1 or 2 yards in front of the line of scrimmage, and then Ray Rice makes a miracle run. Aided by a block in the back, it is true, but after he catches the ball, Rice runs another 28 yards to just get the first down by half a yard. 4th-29, Baltimore converts. Justin Tucker kicks a field goal with 3 seconds left to tie the game at 13. In overtime, each team gets the ball once. Nobody scores. Then the Ravens get the ball. Flacco hits Torrey Smith, who makes an unbelievable catch. And Justin Tucker comes in again from 38 yards to win the game 16-13. You know, you have to really see this play on video to believe it, but Ray Rice said it was, "Hey, diddle, diddle, Ray Rice up the middle," which if you're a Marx Brothers fan and you know that little rhyme from Horse Feathers back in the 1930s, one of the great comedy football movies of all time, but that's irrelevant. Ray Rice, 4th-29, literally, I think, catches a 1 yard pass, 2 at the most, runs another 28 and a half yards to get the first down. It was aided by a block in the back, but as you could see on replay, 7 guys had a chance to tackle Ray Rice, and they didn't get him down until he had gotten the first down, which led to the game-tying field goal, which led to overtime, which led to the game-winning field goal. A stunning win for the Ravens as they totally dominate their division now with the Steelers losing. Ravens 16, San Diego 13, Ravens 9-2, San Diego 4-7. And again, if you have 7 losses at this time of the year, virtually impossible to make the playoffs. You know, maybe not mathematically eliminated, but virtually impossible. And again, I think this is the end of North Turner. I don't know if it's the end of Phillip Rivers, but yesterday, Flacco 30 for 51 for 355, 1 touchdown, no picks. Rice 22 for 97. That 4th-29 was a catch. Rice had 8 receptions for 67 yards as well. Smith, 7 receptions for 144 yards. Pitta, 6 for 43 for 42 and the 1 touchdown. Phillip Rivers, 23 for 36, 228, 1 touchdown. Matthews, 19 rushes for 72 yards. Alexander, 5 receptions for 74. Floyd, 4 for 65 and the 1 touchdown. But not enough. Again, it looks like the end of the day for North Turner and the San Diego Chargers. This is a game, again, where if they could have stopped the team on 4th-29, they would have won the game. They would be 5-6. they still would have at least a chance to make the playoffs. But this is what has happened to the Chargers over the years. They simply can't make a play, and I don't even mean a big play. They can't even stop a 4th and 29 when they have to. This is the Steve Callis Show. We'll get back to more NFL games right after these messages. This is SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-603-8308. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
Follow your favorite NFL team all season long on SportsTalkNetwork.com. Team news, injury updates, game previews, and recaps are updated 24/7. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your teams, your city, your passion.
Good news, everyone. Lumber Liquidators wants to send you a free catalog of hardwood flooring options. Call 800-421-1346. See how you can buy the highest quality flooring for the lowest possible prices. Here's what some of our customers have to say.
I've installed a lot of hardwood floors, but this is the best bang for the buck.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
I love Lumber Liquidators. I got quality products for less, and the online ordering was easy.
At Lumber Liquidators, we buy direct from the mills, and we pass the savings on to you. Call right now and get the floor guide and catalog absolutely free. It has hundreds of top quality flooring such as solid hardwoods, laminates, bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a transferable 100-year warranty. Our catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to help you find the right floor for you. Call 800-421-1346 and get your free catalog. 800-421-1346. That's 800-421-1346.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese, Sunday nights at 8 p.m., only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to 4 rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part? The pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. We're going to get to some more NFL. Another big game. Vikings in Chicago to play the Bears. Jay Cutler coming back from a concussion. Could the Vikings make some noise in this division? But it's all the Bears. 10-3 at the quarter, 25-3 at the half. The Bears, after getting rolled by the 49ers the week before without Jay Cutler, bury the Vikings. Bears 28, Vikings 10. Obviously a big in the division game. Bears now 8-3, Vikings now 6-5. And what can you say? I mean, Chicago has an excellent defense. They did get some injuries in this game that we'll get to in a sec. Michael Bush rushed for a touchdown. Matt Spaeth had an excellent catch in the corner of the end zone from Cutler, his only catch of the day, for a touchdown as well. Cutler, 23 for 31, 188 yards, one touchdown, one pick. Bush, 21 rushes for 60 yards. Forte, 14 for 42. One of the injuries, Matt Forte, who's had an ankle injury on and off all season, left yesterday with an ankle injury. Marshall, 12 receptions for 92 yards. Bennett, 4 for 45. Spaeth, as I said, his only reception was a 13-yard touchdown reception. But not only did Forte leave with an ankle, Peanut Tillman has an ankle injury. Devin Hester left with a probable concussion. So it was not a it was a good win, but not a good day overall. Ponder for the Vikings, who's been, I'll say, okay, 22 for 43, 159, one in TD, one interception. Again, when you have Adrian Peterson rushing for you, I think your numbers should just be better. I understand Ponder's a young quarterback, but Peterson, 18 rushes for 108 yards. Receiving Wright, 7 catches for 49 yards. Rudolph, 5 for 55 and the one passing touchdown. Peterson out of the backfield, 6 for 30, but it wasn't enough. Chicago, 28. Vikings, 10. We'll get to the standings a little later. Bears, 8-3. Vikings, 6-5. Another interesting and important game for both teams. Falcons on the road against the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers, to me at least, have been a surprise. First-year coach Greg Schiano, who did a good job building that Rutgers program, had the Bucs playing well. Yesterday, however, the Falcons beat the Bucs 24-23, and the Falcons do this despite having Bryant, their field goal kicker, miss a 22-yard field goal and a 48-yard field goal very late. But give Atlanta, I don't think Atlanta, you know, I know Atlanta's 10-1, but I think there are a number of teams better than Atlanta. I know the Houston Texans are 10-1. I think there are a number of teams better than Houston. But give Atlanta credit, they are 10-1 after eking out a win on the road against Tampa Bay. And Tampa Bay, give them credit, they've got a good team. They're in the mix. They're 6-5. They have a chance for the playoffs. But yesterday, Julio Jones with an 80-yard touchdown catch to give Atlanta the lead, 17-13. Doug Martin for Tampa Bay, two rushing touchdowns. But at the end of the day, Atlanta was able to hold Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay did try a 56-yard field goal late under the theory that the coach didn't think they would get the ball back. And the field goal was long enough but was wide, and they did not get the field goal back. They did not get the ball back, so Schiano was right, but unfortunately for him, the kick didn't go through. Atlanta 24, Tampa Bay 23. Matty Ice 26 for 32 for 353 yards, one touchdown, one pick. Rushing, Rodgers 10 rushes for 49 yards and a TD. Turner only 13 rushes for only 17 yards and a TD. Julio Jones, a star already, 6 receptions for 147 yards and a touchdown. Gonzalez, 5 receptions for 62 yards. Roddy White, 5 for 57. For Tampa Bay, Freeman, 19 for 30, 256 yards, no touchdowns, no passes, no interceptions. Early in the game, Tampa Bay ran a trick play, and Mike Williams hit Vincent Jackson with a 28-yard pass that led to a field goal. Receiving, Jackson 5 for 96, Underwood 5 for 77, Clark 4 for 65, but it wasn't enough. Falcons 24, Tampa Bay 23. A few other games to get to quickly. Miami at home beat Seattle. Seattle comes across country, obviously a tough thing to do, but yesterday Miami 24, Seahawks 21. Miami went into the fourth quarter trailing 14-7, but were able to put up 17 points on the board. Tannehill hit Charles Clay late with a 29-yard touchdown. Chris Carpenter at the end of the game kicks a 46-yard field goal to win it. Seattle got a 98-yard kickoff return by Leon Washington, who has done that 8 times in his career. That's tied for the all-time NFL record. But it wasn't enough for Seattle. Miami showing signs of life. You know, you thought maybe Miami could at least put a scare into New England. Then they went to Tampa Bay and played Tennessee and lost 37-3. So the Dolphins really an up-and-down team, but they get the win yesterday. Dolphins 24, Seahawks 21. A few other games to look at. Pittsburgh with a nightmare game at Cleveland. Pittsburgh always beats Cleveland, except yesterday. I certainly like the Steelers, even with Charlie Batch, but it turned out to be one of the worst games of all time for Pittsburgh, and by that I mean they had 8 turnovers and still had 3 or 4 chances to win the game in the fourth quarter. But Cleveland 20, Pittsburgh 14, Charlie Batch throws 3 interceptions, and every running back they put on the field, you know, it was funny, not funny, but Mike Tomlin after the game, he goes, well, you know, you want to put the running back in who can hold on to the ball, but when you put in 4 guys and all 4 of them fumble, he said, quote, you don't have too many options. So I shouldn't be laughing. Pittsburgh with 8 turnovers. Cleveland gets the win. Cleveland 20. Pittsburgh 14. Batch 20 for 34 for 199 yards, 3 interceptions. Whedon 17 for 26 for 158 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. But the Browns get the win. They are now 3-8. Steelers drop to 6-5. Steelers are in trouble now. They played the Ravens very tough last week at home and lost. They lose to Cleveland on the road. Now they have to go play the Ravens again. The Bengals are, we'll get to the Bengals in a minute. I picked 3 teams from that division to make the playoffs. I don't know if Pittsburgh can do it with Charlie Batch, but the Bengals are coming on. Cleveland now, Jordan Cameron, a 5-yard touchdown. Trent Richardson with the what turned out to be the game-winning 15-yard touchdown run. Richardson, 29 rushes for 85 yards and the touchdown. Pittsburgh, despite using 4 running backs, all of whom fumbled, mounted no ground game. And, of course, that's the problem if Charlie Batch is your quarterback. The only Lawrence Timmons did have a 52-yard interception return for a touchdown off of Whedon. That was gave Pittsburgh the early 7-0 lead, but they do wind up losing. Cleveland 20, Pittsburgh 14. But the other team in that division that is coming on, the Bengals, bury the Raiders in Cincinnati. The Bengals destroyed the Giants a couple weeks ago, I think serving notice that they're back. Bengals bury Oakland 34-10 in what was not a good return for Carson Palmer as he came back to Cincinnati for the first time as the Oakland quarterback. Dalton 16 for 30, 210 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks. Mohamed Sanu with 2 TD catches. Dalton, who's really come on his last 3 games, 9 touchdown passes, no interceptions. The Bengals were up 14-0 at the quarter, 24-0 at the half. They coast to a 34-10 win. Palmer, 19 for 34, 146 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 pick. Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, formerly the Patriots, 19 rushes for 129 yards and a touchdown. And as we said, Mohamed Sanu, only 5 catches for 29 yards, but 2 of them were for touchdowns, including a gorgeous one-handed catch for a short touchdown. The Bengals serve notice. They're back in it. Bengals 6-5. Raiders 3-8. Bengals 34. Oakland 10. Quickly to a few of the other games. The Colts 7-4. Solid 20-13 win over the Bills. Luck 20 for 37. 240 yards. And a touchdown and an interception. Fitzpatrick, who's been a disappointment this year, 17 for 33, 180 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 pick. Spiller for Buffalo, 14 rushes for 107 yards. Johnson for Buffalo, 6 receptions for 106. Reggie Wayne, 8 for 102. Reggie Wayne, if you saw that record, he has now caught 3 or more passes in 59 consecutive games. That's an all-time record for a receiver. T.Y. Hilton was arguably the offensive star of the game, a 75-yard punt return for a touchdown, and also an 8-yard catch from Andrew Luck for a TD reception. Colts 20, Buffalo 13, Colts 7-4, going maybe to the playoffs. The Bills 4-7, not going anywhere. Denver with Peyton Manning grinds it out. You know, Romeo Crennel all those years at New England was the catalyst to stopping Peyton Manning, or at least giving him fits in games against the Patriots. Well, it was very tough for Denver yesterday, but Kansas City just frankly is not a very good team. So yesterday, Kansas City takes a 6-0 lead, but the Broncos come back to win. Denver 17, Kansas City 9. Peyton Manning now has 3,000-plus yards for 14 seasons. That's second all-time behind Brett Favre. Manning hits Jacob Tammy for a touchdown, Demaryius Thomas for a touchdown. It's his 149th victory as an NFL starting quarterback. He moves past John Elway, who's now third with 148, and only Favre is ahead of Peyton Manning. Yesterday, Manning 22 for 37, 285 yards, two TDs and one pick. Brady Quinn playing for Kansas City, 13 for 25, 126 yards. No touchdowns, no picks, but really no offense for the Kansas City Chiefs. Charles did rush 23 rushes for 107 yards. No Sean Marino, 20 rushes for 85 for Denver, but Denver moves to 8-3. The Chiefs in what probably is going to be Romeo Crennel's last time, 1-10 now. They play very tough, but, you know, Arrowhead's a tough place to play, but this year they're losing all their games at Arrowhead. It's not like it used to be. The Rams beat the Cardinals. The Cardinals 4-0, now 4-7. The Rams beat them 31-17. The Rams 4-6-1. Bradford 8 for 17 for 205 yards and two touchdowns, but Steven Jackson ran wild, 24 rushes for 139 yards. Beanie Wells finally plays for the Cardinals, but 17 rushes for 48 yards. He did have two touchdowns, but the Cardinals, after going 4-0, have now fallen off a cliff. Rams 31, Cardinals 17. Another game, really a meaningless game, but the Jaguars 24, the Titans 19. Chad Henne now starting and playing well for Jacksonville, 17 for 26 for 261 yards and two touchdowns. Locker 23 for 40, 261 and a touchdown for Tennessee, but the Jags are now 2-9. Tennessee now 4-7. Really, obviously, neither of those teams going anywhere. I want to take a quick look at these standings and, you know, time, frankly, to really focus on wild card possibilities. In the AFC and the East, the Patriots, as we discussed, you know, it's a function of scheduling, and frankly, it turns out these teams, again, for another year, the Dolphins, the Jets, and the Bills just aren't that good. But the Patriots are 8-3. They had a relatively easy schedule. They're playing the Texans and 49ers in a few weeks back-to-back, but they're going to win the AFC East. The question is, where are they going to be seated? They were certainly hoping that the Chargers could beat the Ravens yesterday, but that didn't happen. Patriots 8-3, have at least a three-game lead in the AFC East. Dolphins 5-6, Jets and Bills 4-7. The Ravens, as we said, now a commanding 9-2 record and three-game lead over the slumping quarterback-less, running back who can't fumble-less Steelers. Steelers 6-5, Bengals 6-5. Cleveland out of it despite their win. They're 3-8. The South, the Texans, I think, fortunate to be 10-1. Indianapolis 7-4 and in the wild card spot. The Titans 4-7, pretty much out of it. Jacksonville 2-8. And finally, in the West, as we talked earlier, you know, we picked the Broncos by default, frankly. The Broncos are 8-3. Manning has come back virtually 100%. San Diego 4-7, they're out of it. The Raiders 3-8, they're out of it. Kansas City 1-10, they're out of it. So obviously the Patriots, Ravens, Texans, and Broncos lead the division. Right now in the AFC, the Colts are 7-4. They have the first wild card. The Steelers right now are 6-5. They have the tiebreaker over the Bengals, who are also 6-5. And the Dolphins 5-6, I guess, with an outside chance to get a wild card. In the NFC, the Giants in the East, a huge win, 7-4, gives them a two-game lead over both Washington and Dallas at 5-6. They're hoping to get in. The Eagles done at 3-7, I think, although I guess they could run the table, but that's unlikely. The Bears moved to 8-3 with that win, and the Packers dropped to 7-4, so the Bears with a one-game lead. Minnesota 6-5, still in the hunt. The Lions, I think we'll have to run the table at 4-7, and even that may not get them in. The Falcons, fortunate to be 10-1, but they are 10-1. the Bucks in the playoff mix, 6-5. New Orleans, I didn't think they could make the playoffs, but they certainly have a chance, even though they're 5-6. Carolina done at 2-8. And finally, in the West, the 49ers, 8-2-1. Seattle Seahawks, 6-5. And then the Rams are done at 4-6-1, and Arizona's done at 4-7. A little more interesting in the NFC, Packers 7-4 of the first wild card. Seattle right now, by virtue of the tiebreaker 6-5, they have the second wild card. But the Bucks and Vikings are both 6-5 in the mix, and you have to include the Redskins, Cowboys, and the Saints, all 5-6. Obviously, they have to jump three teams to get to the second wild card, but obviously with five games left, you know, one of them could run the table and be 10-6 and get in as a wild card that way. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-603-8308. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
Follow your favorite NFL team all season long on SportsTalkNetwork.com. Team news, injury updates, game previews, and recaps are updated 24/7. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your teams, your city, your passion. Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese. Sunday nights at 8 p.m. only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part, the pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit
card.
Call
877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. We're going to do a little NBA. Very interesting game. If you're an NBA fan early in the year, especially if you're a New Yorker, Knicks and the Nets play tonight. That was that original game that was canceled by Hurricane Sandy out at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. But as we come now, the Knicks and Nets are two very good teams. Knicks 9-3, Nets 8-4. But last night, Pistons at the Garden to play the Knicks. The Knicks 121, the Pistons 100. It's kind of interesting. Lawrence Frank, who used to, of course, coach the Nets, now coaches the Pistons. The Pistons are terrible. They fall to 3-11 last night. Knicks 121, Pistons 100. Carmelo Anthony 15 in the first quarter, 29 for the game. Steve Novak, the sharp shooting 3-point guy, had 18. Knight had 21 for the Pistons to lead the Pistons. A few other games last night, double overtime. The Spurs beat the Raptors 111-106. Tony Parker with 32 points. DeRozan led the Raptors with 29. Trailblazers in Brooklyn to play the Nets, so both teams will be playing back-to-backs. When the Nets play the Knicks, you have to like the Nets on the back-to-backs because the Knicks are old. But yesterday in Brooklyn, the Nets beat the Trailblazers. Nets 98, Trailblazers 85. Johnson leads the Nets with 21. Williams with 12 assists. Darren Williams has been playing on and off with some injuries. Trailblazers, Matthews had 20. Other games, Celtics beat the Magic 116-110. KG with 24 points. Rondo with 16 assists. Rondo a rebound short of a triple-double with 11 points, 9 rebounds, 16 assists. That game was in overtime. Celtics 116. Magic 110. J.J. Redick had 21. A couple of other games. The 76ers at home beat the Suns 104-101. Jrue Holiday with 33 points and 13 assists. Michael Beasley leads the Suns with 21 points. And finally, yesterday in the NBA, the Nuggets beat the Hornets 102-84. Iguodala with 23 points. Fareed, the rebounding machine from college, who is a rebounding machine in the pros. Kenneth Fareed with 12 rebounds for the Nuggets. Roberts led the Hornets with 17. Nuggets 102. Hornets 84. Want to go to the standings quickly in the NBA? Yes, it's early, but again, in the Atlantic, in the East, Knicks 9-3, Brooklyn 8-4. Those are your top two teams. Philly 8-6. The Celtics only 8-6. Toronto in for a bad year at 3-11. The Central, Milwaukee 6-5, the only team over 500. The Bulls are 6-6. No Derrick Rose. Indiana 6-8. Cleveland 3-10, and the Pistons 3-11. In the Southeast, of course, Miami 10-3. Atlanta now 8-4 with a short winning streak. They've won their last five, actually. Charlotte 7-5, surprising. Orlando 5-8. Washington, no John Wall, no wins. Washington, easily, obviously, the worst team in the NBA at 0-11, again, with no John Wall. In the West, Oklahoma City in the Northwest 10-4, Denver 8-6, Utah 7-7, Portland 6-7, Minnesota getting Kevin Love back now, 5-7, but they've got a long way to go. In the Pacific, the Clippers are 8-5, Golden State is 8-6, the Lakers are 7-7, but obviously no one has greatly pulled away from them early. Phoenix 6-8, Sacramento in last 4-9, and in the Southwest, arguably the best division, Memphis 9-2, they're very good. San Antonio, they're 11-3. Dallas 7-7 without Dirk Nowitzki playing a game yet. Houston 6-7 after torching the Knicks the other night. We'll talk about that game briefly. And New Orleans 3-9. You know, a lot was made, at least in New York, of the Knicks going down to Houston to play Jeremy Lin. Now, Lin has not been that good, getting criticized left and right. People forget he had knee surgery. Yes, it was only a torn meniscus, but there's no such thing as minor knee surgery when it's your knee, especially for a guy who depends on quickness, ability to cut, to go fast. So I think the jury's still out on Jeremy Lin. I'm a big Jeremy Lin guy. I think he sees the floor better than 90% of the NBA point guards myself. But yes, he has been hurting and he hasn't been playing that well. And Houston is in, look, Memphis, San Antonio, Dallas, they're in the wrong division. You know, we talk about that in baseball a lot. It's true. It's true in basketball as well. If you're in a division with Memphis, San Antonio, and Dallas, your name better be, you know, Oklahoma City, Lakers, Clippers, that caliber of team, because you're going to have a lot of trouble within your own conference, obviously for playoff purposes, as you know, other than the winners of the divisions, and everyone gets thrown into the same pot. But again, that's still a very, very tough division to be in if you're a young Houston Rocket. I think their oldest starter is like 25. But they did torch the Knicks the other night. I don't know if that made Lin happy or not. I guess because they got a win, and Lin got his $25 million, and it appears the Knicks didn't really, really, really want him. Mike Woodson didn't seem to be anywhere near as big a fan as Mike D'Antoni. But, again, that's the way it goes. What's happened has happened. But those are your standings in the NBA. Only one game well, the game tonight on national TV, which we'll get to the time, et cetera, is the Knicks in Brooklyn to play the Brooklyn Nets now. And again, the Brooklyn Nets are a good team. Joe Johnson hasn't even played well, and they're 8-4. But we'll talk about that game a little bit later. I want to switch quickly to college football. Now, a lot going on in college football. As you know, Notre Dame ran the table amazingly. Now, look, they made this out to be one of the greatest wins in the history of Notre Dame. The reality is Matt Barkley got hurt, couldn't play. USC, which was a preseason number one, had four losses before the game. So even with Barkley, it would have been difficult for USC. But they started Max Wittig. He was okay, but Notre Dame, as should have been expected, even though they were on the road against USC, beat USC 22-13. Golson, their quarterback, 15-26 for 217 yards. Riddick was unbelievable for Notre Dame, 20 rushes for 146 yards and a touchdown. Wittig for USC replacing Barkley, 14-23 for 186 yards and a touchdown. And Red, the Penn State transfer, 12 rushes for 77 yards. Woods of USC, 7 receptions for 92 yards and that touchdown, but it wasn't enough. And again, give Notre Dame full credit. They're 12-0. They played who was on their schedule. They did have a tough schedule, but this USC game, I won't say it was anticlimactic, but you really didn't give USC much of a chance. And they lose to Notre Dame. Notre Dame 22, USC 13, Notre Dame 12-0, will not play again until the BCS championship game. I have a feeling whoever they play is going to be favored over them because it looks like it's going to be a SEC team. And Alabama playing hapless Auburn. You know, Gene Chizik got was fired yesterday. Chizik won that national championship with Cam Newton. But after getting buried by Alabama, and that is a gigantic rivalry, as you probably know, Alabama was up 42-0 at the half, coasted to a 49-0 victory. So Chizik got fired. He was 0-8. Auburn was 0-8 in the SEC this year. No Cam Newton, no real good team at Auburn. And, of course, then we'll have to see who this next Auburn coach is going to be. That's a heck of a job. It's not Alabama, but it's a heck of a job. Number two, Alabama finishes 11-1 in the regular season. They'll play in the SEC championship game. Alabama 49, Auburn nothing. So Notre Dame, your number one team. Alabama, your number two team. Georgia in a rivalry game with Georgia Tech, but Georgia playing at home, number three. Looking forward to playing Alabama for a chance to play in the national championship. They hammer Georgia Tech. 42-10, Murray, the Georgia quarterback, 14-17 for 215 yards and two touchdowns. Gurley, their running back, 12 rushes for 97 yards and two touchdowns. I should have told you, McCarron for Alabama, 15-21 for 216 yards and four TDs against Auburn, but again, this wasn't fair. Lacey, 18 rushes for 131 and two TDs for Alabama, but Georgia buries Georgia Tech 42-10. Alabama buries Auburn 49-0. And that sets up the game that I think, frankly, will decide the national championship, because I think the winner of Alabama-Georgia is going to beat Notre Dame, but that game isn't for like 6 weeks. Again, another the absurdity of college football. Can you imagine any sport where you played your whole season and then someone said, okay, take 6 weeks off and we'll come back for the championship game? I mean, it's preposterous. But that's how it's been done forever for the bowl season. You know, they should play that game 2 weeks after, but they want to capitalize, I guess, keep college football alive and, you know, have 50 or 60 or 80 teams play from the end of December through the beginning of January. I don't know how you play after a six-week layoff, but that's what happens every year. So it'll be Notre Dame against the winner of Auburn and Georgia, that game in Atlanta. Alabama and Georgia, I don't know why I keep saying Auburn. I must have Cam Newton on my mind. But the winner of Alabama, Georgia, I think that's going to be Alabama. Alabama always seems to get these second chances. They lost, and when they lost, there were three undefeateds. If K-State or Oregon had stayed undefeated, they would have been playing Notre Dame. But both of them got beat, so Alabama got bumped back up to number two. Georgia came up to number three. Florida beating Florida State came up to number four, but Florida really has no chance to get into the championship game. It's going to be Notre Dame against the winner of Alabama-Georgia. So once again, you will have an SEC team. There was some thought there for a while that maybe this would be the year there would be no SEC team. I don't think that's particularly good because the SEC is so far the best and toughest conference. I mean, if you put Notre Dame in the SEC, they would not be undefeated. They would not be a one-loss team. But all Notre Dame can play is players on their schedule, and they played a tough schedule. So, again, give them credit. They deserve it. They're 12-0. They were the only undefeated. Well, there was one other undefeated team we should talk about. Urban Meyer, I think, has to be the coach of the year. I don't know if you can give the coach of the year to a team that's on probation, because Ohio State, 6-7, I believe, last year, runs the table, goes 12-0, beats Michigan, obviously their big rivalry game of the year. For the polls that will rank them, they're fourth in the country behind Notre Dame, Alabama, and Georgia. But they go, amazingly, 12-0 with Urban Meyer at the helm. Now, this Braxton Miller is a very good player. He'll be back next year, the quarterback for Ohio State. Yesterday, Saturday, I should say, 14 for 18, 189 yards, and a touchdown. Hyde, their good running back, 26 rushes for 146 yards, and a touchdown. Brown, 8 receptions for 95 yards, and a touchdown. But for Ohio State, with this team to run the table, and again, knowing the whole time they couldn't be, you know, they're not eligible to be in the bowl game. And now there's a lot of criticism out there because, look, nobody thought, even Urban Meyer, I'm sure, didn't think they were going 12-0. But now people are saying Ohio State should have reported, or Tressel should have reported. They should have not played in the bowl game last year, so they would have been eligible to play in the bowl game this year. And if they were, it would have been Notre Dame and Ohio State for the championship. But as you know, that is not what happened. Tressel essentially tried to cover it up. So they paid the price this year for what happened last year. And that was, you know, the whole tattoo, exchanging things, you know, illegal gifts, improper benefits, blah, blah, blah. But that's hurting Ohio State now. And again, I don't think anybody thought Ohio State was going to go 12-0, but they did. And again, that's a credit to Urban Meyer. I mean, when he reloads with his players, how good are they going to be? The answer is unbelievable. I think you're going to see Alabama and Ohio State at the top of the heap again next year, for example. I don't know if Notre Dame can stay there, but I'll say it again. Notre Dame, surprisingly athletic, 12-0. They deserve a ton of credit for doing what they're doing, and they're going to get their chance to play for the championship. The top five in the BCS, Notre Dame, in this order, Alabama 2, Georgia 3, Florida 4, Oregon 5. Now, obviously, whoever Notre Dame is done, whoever wins Alabama-Georgia will move into the 2 spot. I assume whoever loses will drop down. Florida probably 3, Oregon 4, loser of Alabama-Georgia will probably drop down to 5. But I still think it's going to be the winner of Alabama-Georgia. A lot of people think Georgia can win. I know Alabama's going to be the favorite. I think Alabama's going to win the national championship. But they did lose to Johnny Football. And I think Johnny Manziel will win the Heisman. I mean, his performances have been astounding. But still a lot to go in college football. But again, unfortunate that you have that ridiculous 30, 40, 50-day gap between the end of the season and the bowl games. But that's not going to change. And maybe it'll be slightly better. We'll have to see how they do it. Slightly better, maybe, when they do have that 14 playoff. But that is not until, not January 2013, not January 2014, January of 2015. So we still have a ways with this terrible system, frankly, a ways to go until there is at least a 14 playoff. I was hoping for 8 myself. That's a little fairer, but I'll take 4 rather than the system now, frankly, because the system now just is not any good. I want to take a quick look at some college basketball over the weekend. Yes, it's early, but some fascinating games. Last night, number 11 UCLA was upset at home by Cal Poly. Cal Poly scored the last, I believe it was 16 points of the game, to come back and beat UCLA, Cal Poly 70, UCLA 68. Hard to believe, but again, early in the year, you know, but UCLA losing a Poly Pavilion to Cal Poly, that's never happened before. A few other games. Saturday night was a huge game in that they called it the Battle for the Bahamas or something, or the Battle for Atlantis. I don't really care what they called it, but it was Duke and Louisville in the final. Louisville ranked second in the country. Duke ranked fifth. And Duke early on beating, obviously, a very young Kentucky team, and now Louisville. Duke 76, Louisville 71. Duke remains undefeated, 6-0. Louisville's first loss, they're 5-1. Again, Duke is Duke. You know they're always going to be there. They win the tournament in the Bahamas. Louisville takes a loss. I pick Louisville to win the whole thing. But it is early, so you can't get too excited about this. But again, those were some interesting games. You know, number one Indiana, for example, beats Ball State 101-53. So there's not a whole lot to get excited there. Syracuse has already moved up to number six because they're Syracuse, and Boeheim always has a good team. But, you know, they play up at the Carrier Dome, and they beat Colgate 87-51. So once in a while in these tournaments, you'll get some good matchups. Most of the time, you won't, frankly. But those were the major games, I would say, over the weekend in terms of top 20, top 10 teams, and, again, UCLA being upset by Cal Poly. Want to go to the TV for tonight? As bad a football game as you could get, and obviously it would have looked good at the beginning of the year. I guess ESPN can't flex out of these Monday night games. Panthers at Eagles at the beginning of the year sounded like Cam Newton, who was moving his team, you know, had 6 wins last year. I think they won 4 of their last 6, and they were going to be good this year. And, of course, the Eagles, off their disappointing 8-8 season, were going to win the Super Bowl this year, and it's gone from bad to worse for both of them. So the Panthers in Philadelphia to play the Eagles. The Eagles, I guess you could say they could run the table. They were 8-8 last year and almost made the playoffs if the Giants didn't win that last game to go 9-7. So Panthers at Eagles, ESPN, 8:30 Eastern. Frankly, if you're a basketball fan, an NBA fan, the Knicks at the Nets is not just a really good New York game. It's a really good NBA game. Knicks 9-3, Nets 8-4. I'm a Knicks guy, but you have to like the Nets on back-to-back. Excuse me, the Knicks, I think, are not going to be a good back-to-back team. That's 7 o'clock Eastern on TNT nationally. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.